97.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Hello and welcome to Bayou to Beltway. Today we are talking to Sarah Berthelot. Sarah Berthelot was born in Kinder, raised in Allen Parish, went to high school in St. Mary, came to UL and got a degree in communication. She then moved into the nonprofit, NGO, non-governmental organization area and has been there ever since. Currently she is CEO of the United Louisiana Association of United Ways, organization of 12 United Ways across Louisiana. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Pearson.
Now, I understand that recently United Way's work has been in the news a little bit because there's been an update to the ALICE report.
That's
and
right.
So I thought we would talk about that and let people know. Do most people know what ALICE is? Have most people met ALICE? I guess that's the question.
I think a lot of people have been able to meet ALICE, but there's still a lot of people who haven't quite heard about ALICE. And so I appreciate the time that you're taking on today's show to give us a chance to talk about her.
Absolutely.
ALICE is an acronym that stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. And in Louisiana, 42% of households we'd call ALICE. And what ALICE is, it's people who work very hard to make ends meet. They earn above the federal poverty level, but below what it takes to live in their communities. The 42% of households that I just referenced includes ALICE, which makes up about 23% of Louisiana households, and 19% of Louisiana households are below the poverty line. So collectively, this represents a large group of people in our state that are not really able to meet their own needs.
So the group we're talking about poor, but specifically we're talking about people who just can't make basic needs, and those people may even be above the federal poverty line. Right now, the federal poverty line for one is around $11,500. The federal poverty line for a family of four is about $23,500, although it varies by region and by state somewhat, although not a great deal. But ALICE has a different figure. If you're a family of four, what does it take for you to meet your basic needs, do they figure?
Well, in our report, we outline a figure for every parish of the state. The state average for a family of four, which includes infants and a preschooler for child care, is $46,240. And this is a figure that's based on...
That's the ALICE figure.
It's the ALICE threshold.
Yeah, $46,000. Okay.
Basic survival.
Mm-hmm. And basic survival.
Extremely basic. And it's so basic that it doesn't include things like birthday gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't include a dinner out once a
this
month.
This isn't movies. This isn't...
no college fund,
cell
no savings.
Phone?
No cell phone.
No cell
basic,
phone.
Basic telephone.
So basic, and I think when you say basic, housing, child care, food, health care, transportation.
That's right, taxes.
Taxes.
Very basic. Just what it takes to live.
Yeah. Wow.
And these figures are built on public data that is rooted, everything's rooted in research. And so we're able to quantify the cost of child care for a household of four with two young children, which is the largest expense for ALICE.
Interesting. So child care is number one. Okay.
Child care is number one, and followed by housing.
Mm-hmm.
So an average cost for child care is $795 for a family of four. With two children in child care, housing $727. And so the monthly budget for ALICE is about $3,853. And so when we say that 42% of families in Louisiana live below the ALICE threshold, we're showing to you that how much people are struggling by using an extremely basic survival budget.
Mm-hmm. So that budget, $3,850 a month for a family of four, is kind of just right at what you can make it in Louisiana without having to maybe time things, having to work a second job, do other kinds of
things. That's right.
Yeah.
And you know what, Pearson, here's another thing about that. this budget does not allow for unexpected events. Mm-hmm. So it does not allow for a car to break down, your tires to go flat, doesn't allow for an illness. Things have to really be perfect to survive on this budget. Yeah. And so, you know, that doesn't always happen.
One of the things that statistic came out recently said that it was some crazy proportion of people wouldn't have $400 cash in an emergency, couldn't put their hands on $400. And you're thinking, I mean, if you're one of the lucky people, I guess, who can, you're thinking, how would you do it? What would you do in an emergency,
That's right.
When your car goes out, when you need an operation or something? I don't know.
It's so true. And then so many families in Louisiana were impacted this past year with flood events. And so that is an example of an event that could take Alice with no safety nets, to no savings, and really spiral them down into a crisis, potentially losing their ability to maintain control of the expenses they do have and potentially lose their housing. So it's there's a lot of people in Louisiana that are vulnerable. And you talked a bit about savings. In the report, we also learned that about the assets that families in Louisiana have in general, outside of not just Alice and not outside of those in poverty, but in general, families in Louisiana, like many other states, have three primary assets. The assets include their home. Some are mortgaged, some are not. Vehicles. Households have different number of vehicles. Some households have none. And then the other type of asset is interest, dividends, rental incomes, assets that can be that can produce revenue during times of crisis, or perhaps be sold when needed to wade through an unexpected event. What this report tells us is that only 16% of Louisiana households have income-producing assets. And assets that can be sold to weather a storm. And so that also shows us the economic vulnerability of people in general in our state.
Well, it's a pretty rough picture.
It is a rough picture.
I don't quite know what to say. So just to spin out a scenario, so you're kind of living close to that $45,000, $46,000 for a family, four figure, and then a flood comes along and you have to move out of your house. So are you homeless at that point?
Well, I think that's why it's so important. That is whenever aid and other assistance could be made available in those situations. Those types of assistance helps to mitigate the crisis that a family experiences. It is the picture that I've just painted is pretty grim. And the 42% is pretty high. And I want you to know that the 42% in this point in time is based on 2014 data. So the 42%...
So it's worse now, in other words.
It may be.
Maybe. I would say it is. I can think of two major events, right?
Right.
The flood and the crash of the oil economy.
That's right.
Oh my goodness.
We're going to be looking towards what the data will tell us in the coming 2 to 3 years. And this information is based on just complete research-based fact. And so we don't want to take a leap on what we could expect, but we continue to see that jobs and the wage potential of jobs continue, the expenses of living continue to outpace those wages. Housing, especially in areas where jobs are more plentiful, tend to be out of reach for many. Child care, the expense of child care is very significant. And so that continues to be a challenge for families. And two working household, with young children, trustworthy, high-quality child care is essential. And so these challenges are real. And we meet up with Alice every day. We see them every day in our lives. They may service at a restaurant or check us out at the grocery store. But if one takes time to really have the opportunity to understand the challenges these families face, it's very illuminating, the tough decisions that they have to make every day. And no one's exempt from those tough decisions. I think the flooding, especially in 2016, so many of us were personally impacted by that flooding, including my own family. And we found ourselves kind of at a loss for moments on what we were going to do. But it's important that people have the supports to navigate those tough decisions.
Well, so you suffered personally from the flood, huh?
We did. We flooded unexpectedly. We've never had a threat of water, and we had to restore our home. And you know, working with the ALICE Project, working, studying the data, many of the workers that helped me to restore my home were families that were ALICE, were workers that were ALICE, and it also gave me a chance to get to know them and know their struggles. And many of their struggles are the same type of struggles that we eliminate in our report. And so for those that have interest in really digging into the data, whether it be for your jobs or just for your personal interests, you can access the report on the LAUW website at launitedway.org. The complete report is there. This is the second release, and we also have an interactive map where people can scroll over the parishes of interest and get to know the data on what is the realities for the economic vitality of families in a specific area.
And I'll try to post that on the Bayou de Belleway Facebook page as well so that people can find that information. I noticed in Lafayette, it varies. For example, in Lafayette, I think 37, Lafayette City proper, 37% of households are ALICE households, whereas in Doosan, that goes up to 51% roughly. Other places like Youngsville were below 10%. So there's quite a bit of regional disparity.
That's right. Yeah. And the Lafayette City figure of is of 36%. Below the ALICE threshold is lower than the rest of the parish. However, there are some pockets of Lafayette, the city of Lafayette, that neighborhoods that struggle, that are have a much higher, presence of ALICE in poverty.
Right. Well, we know that poverty, we're headed up to a break, but we know that poverty is clustered, and particularly in terms of residential poverty. So we're talking today to CEO of Louisiana Association of United Way, Sarah Berthelot. We are going to talk some more when we come back right after this break.
Thank you.
Join me for a musical journey spanning time and place, from classical to contemporary, Celtic to jazz, from Ireland to Mexico and everywhere in between. That's Harpistry, a diverse hour of music of the harp, Mondays at noon and Sundays at midnight, right here on KRVS.
Under music director Riccardo Muti, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra continues to be one of the finest orchestras in the world. I'm Lisa Simeone, and I hope you'll join me as we hear the CSO charge into the 21st century with repertoire both new and old, taking listeners behind the scenes and into the music. That's right here with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Coming up Monday night at 9, here on KRVS.
Welcome back to Bayou de Beltway. We're talking today to United Way Association of Louisiana CEO Sarah Berthelot. When we were going away, we were talking about the ALICE report, which is an acronym that stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed People. So this is for a group of people who are working, but they're not making very much money. One of the questions that I have is, why aren't they making much money? So these people are working. Are they – the jobs don't pay too much? Is that what it is?
Well, the low-wage jobs in Louisiana dominate our economy. And so more than 70% in Louisiana, 70% of workers earn less than $20 per hour. And these jobs are growing far faster than the higher-wage jobs. The number one job in Louisiana is a waitress, I mean, I'm sorry, is a cashier.
Cashier.
Okay. The basic cost of living outpaces these wages. We see that. There was a slight increase in the cost of living between our first and second report, which compares the data over 1 year. And, you know, jobs are not necessarily located near the most affordable housing. So housing continues to be a struggle. But also, Alice, when you hear the stories of Alice, oftentimes there was an event in their life that was a barrier to whether it be completing their education, completing their training, an ill parent that needed care. Sometimes it's an event that impacts Alice's life that gets in the way of their workforce training or their access to higher wage jobs because they need to stay near a loved one to care for them. So there's a whole variety of reasons why Alice is not earning above the threshold of survival.
So let's get this straight. So 70% of the jobs in the state of Louisiana or more earn less than $20 per hour. At a $20 per hour level, which would be the best scenario for any of those people, 70% of the households, that would only produce about $800 a week at a 40-hour work week or about $3,200 a month, which would still – so you can have a $20 an hour job and still after taxes and everything else, you're still considerably below – the Alice threshold for a family of four, which we said was $46,000 for a four-person family in Louisiana. So you're almost guaranteed that both parents have to work. What if there aren't two parents?
And that's oftentimes the case. The most common profile for an Alice family are single head of household families with children. Most common is female, single head of household. And to break through to the threshold of budget for the budget, you need to earn $23.12 and for the household per hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be two people working jobs. It could be one person working.
$23.12 is kind of the target for two people or one person or whatever it is. Right?
And oftentimes people may have to work several jobs to achieve that level.
Yeah.
And for an individual, the hourly wage would be $8.41 if they were only having to care for themselves.
$8.41.
And this is above the federal poverty level earning.
Right.
So
now, why are wages so stagnated and why aren't wages growing? And this is something that we've been talking about as a society. What's your view on it? I mean, they say since the 70s, we've suffered from wage stagnation, and it's noted that people today have less income, you know, in 2017 dollars than their parents did. You know, why is this? What's going on?
You know what, Pearson? I wish I knew the answer to that question, and I don't consider myself an expert on that topic. But what we do hope is that when it comes to policy or planning, that this report could be helpful to one that needs to really objectively understand what's happening. And we have had business owners that, after reviewing the report, felt like they needed to make some adjustments to some of their human resource practices. And so we hope that this report kind of unlocks and empowers people to maybe find solutions within their own sphere of influence. But I don't quite know what could unlock the wage progression. I know that there is discussion around public policy around that topic.
Let me talk about a couple of things here, if I can jump in.
Sure.
You know, and people have acted on the basis of Alice, like, for example, famously Aetna Insurance CEO Mark Bertolini announced that he was raising his company's minimum wage to $16 an hour just, you know, in order so that his employees could have a fairer, better life. You know, people have talked about this wage stagnation, and they've said, you know, there's a decline in union membership, for one thing, advocating, you know, Comp 4 and competition, increased energy costs. The financial sector seems to be where a lot of the money goes. But, you know, you could really look at the election of Donald Trump and say that part of that election was about a dissatisfaction with outcomes in among people in the working and middle class. You know, that there's a real strong feeling, I think, in society right now, maybe that the middle and working class, in fact, are not getting enough to get by, and I think there's a rise of discontent. Mm-hmm. Is there something going on in the legislature maybe that might help with this? What about the earned income tax credit? Would changing that at all, would additional child care legislation help? Or what can people do? I mean, you feel so powerless about this, right? Someone's, you know, in poverty or near poverty. I mean, is there anything we can do?
Well, you know, as it relates to the earned income tax credit, in general, this federal tax credit, which is matched by the state at 3.5%, is such an important credit for people that are struggling to make ends meet. For many of them, this credit helps them to pay down bills that have accumulated or access, pay tuition on a training program that they want to access or buy their children uniforms that they need. It's a essential tax credit that actually was a very effective tool to moving families out of poverty and keeping them out of poverty. So we believe in the United Ways across the state believe in the earned income tax credit and work very hard to help workers access this tax credit through free tax preparation. Now,
the way the tax credit works, just to explain to people, correct me if I'm wrong, you are working at a job that doesn't pay very much, and at some point you get credit for that on your taxes when you file your taxes. The government says you're working, you're a contributing member of society, but you're not making very much. Let us give you a little money back or something.
It gives you a tax credit based on your income and the number of people in your family. And so for a family of four or five that make around $20,000 a year annually and they're filing their taxes, then their tax credit is significant. It could be over $5,000, which equates to almost 20% of their total annual income. It gives them this credit back. Now, interestingly, in our region of the state and also as a whole, there are so many families that are not accessing this credit.
Really?
They're not filing properly, and there are millions left unclaimed by these hard workers every year. So if you know of someone that you think may need to understand about this credit, please spread the word because as we finish this tax season, there's still so much unclaimed funds that could be put into the hands of people to really do some good things for their families.
Well, I'm thinking, for one thing, the earned income tax credit, if you knew about it, it would give you perhaps the confidence to go to a tax preparer and just say, can you do this for me?
That's right.
Because whatever you would pay them would be, you know, well covered by that and so much more. That's amazing.
Yeah, and then in this area, there's free tax preparation available to those that need it through VITA sites. And so if you miss that service this tax season, look for it around late January of 2018. VITA sites open up. It's completely staffed by volunteers that are trained to properly prepare taxes.
Say it again, VITA sites?
VITA sites. It's Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Sites. And the United Way of Acadiana works with partners all over the region to coordinate these sites. Mm-hmm. And so people can visit, have their taxes filed and for free and make sure that they access all the credits that they are entitled to
receive. How did you get this past the accountant lobby in Baton Rouge? That's what I want.
You know, I'm not sure. But at this there's so much work to be done.
Yeah.
That these people oftentimes don't have the ability to pay prepare, and they may risk doing it themselves.
Right, and then they might not get all the money that's coming to them, not only legally but justly. Question: the Medicaid expansion that the John Bel Edwards administration has embraced extends out now. I think it's extended to what is it, 400,000? He brought 400,000 additional people under the Medicaid umbrella. Has that made a difference for Alice households in terms of health care?
I think it definitely – it has to have made a difference. Health care is a significant – it's a basic need. And, you know, people are now – there. You know, there's clear stories about people accessing health care, identifying you know, that they had cancer because they were able to access the test properly.
I think there were 68 people that were identified who just got Medicaid that were identified as having cancer in some form and were able to treat it.
Yeah.
Who would have known? So very interesting. Listen, you are United Way always works with companies, right, a lot. You interact with companies. They serve on your board. I guess they you go to them to do drives for United Way and so on. How do you lobby companies, or how do you encourage companies to care about Alice folks and Alice households, or think about their own company policies with regard to Alice, you know, while at the same time asking them to give you money or to support you?
Sure. Well, you know, United Way's across the country, not just Louisiana, in some cases across the globe, really the foundation for the work of United Way is the support of donors, and so much of that comes from corporate partners. Here in this region, United Way's are blessed to have the support that they have. Not only do corporate partners give donations, but they help in thinking through the most urgent issues that are affecting a community, and they do their part to try to resolve them. Many of these issues impact their own employees. And so what we find is that we work together with leaders, corporate or in other sectors, to understand issues, to learn from them what the issues are that are affecting families, and co-create solutions together. And that's really the core of United Way, is that the solutions are locally grown to meet the needs in local communities. And this Alice report just gives us another lens. It gives us the optics to understand some quantitative data around financial stability. But we have such wonderful leaders that are very open to understanding these issues and considering their own abilities to impact Alice. And, you know, there's no silver bullet. An increase of wage doesn't necessarily mean Alice cannot be Alice. Sometimes it comes in the form of other supports, like child care supports, like policies that support mothers that are needing to be with their children when they're ill. It comes in a wide range of supports. And so we hope this Alice report kind of sheds light on the solutions, the collective ones, and inspires folks to consider what they can do with their eyes wide open on what families in this area are facing.
We have about 30 seconds left. Any legislation you're following?
I'm watching the tax credits for hard workers very closely. I'm also watching the early care and education funding. Over recent years, that funding continues to decline. And we all recognize that our state and our leaders are in a tough position of trying to make a budget work that's almost impossible.
Yeah, well, they certainly have a tall task, but from my point of view, it's a task that they created for themselves. And, you know, we're looking for them for solutions. So I hope they get it together. We are talking today to Sarah Berthelot, who is the CEO of Louisiana Association of United Ways. We talked about Alice and about income challenge families. So thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much, Pearson. Pleasure.
Bayou de Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, and members.
I like ugly people, I do. And anyway, ugly people are just as hard to get as pretty people. They don't want you either.
This week on Selected Shorts, Andy Warhol's Diaries from PRI, Public Radio International.
Friday at 6 p.m. here on KRVS.
Visit the KRVS website for programming information, live streaming audio, playlist for local programs, and world news from NPR Digital. It's all at krvs.org. This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles.